Part 1, Chapter 18, He must grow, but I must decrease. So there are two existences in the microcosm, a lower self in the mortal part of the microcosm, the ordinary earthly consciousness, and an immortal part, the so-called higher self, the consciousness of the auric being. Both aspects in the microcosm possess a personality figure, but are dependent upon and inseparably linked to one another. The higher self, the auric personality, carries the karma, the result of all the manifestations of the lower self. In the long run, this higher self hereby becomes such a decisive and influential factor for the whole system that one can rightly speak of domination. It oversees almost all avenues leading to the microcosm and can, in this way, completely control the lower self, transmuting all incoming forces and radiations according to its own state of being. Thus, according to its essence, the higher self, in the truest sense of the word, is our nature God. It exercises its absolute power over us. In order for you to grasp something of this power, we refer our astrological friends to their horoscopes. The image of the moment of birth calculated and drawn by you is governed entirely by the higher self. The image of the moment of birth is in fact a direct projection of the higher self, expressed as a diagram. Furthermore, you should likewise understand that just as your body, with its etheric double, originated in the body of your mother, the rest of your personality, namely the threefold ego, the mental faculty and desire body, originated out of the body of your higher self. When an expectant mother notices life for the first time in the child that she carries, an emptied auric being, i.e., an auric being whose mortal personality has fallen away due to death, has established connection with her in order to fill its deficit and radiates a hydrogen power into the serpent fire channel, which is the first thing that shows itself in the embryo. This ray of consciousness links itself to the embryo, and from this moment on, just as the child grows physically to birth maturity in the mother's womb, the consciousness formula, the quality and vibration of the ether combustion processes are precisely attuned to the auric being which has adopted the child. After birth, the child gradually and progressively releases itself from the auric being of the mother and is taken up in the auric system of the other auric being which has adopted the new human form. It will be clear that the adopting auric being must have an affinity with that of the mother. If this is not the case, then the notorious temporal anomaly of the expectant mother appears. Sometimes the developing child is totally unacceptable to a foreign auric being. For example, the organic structure may be so poor and feeble that no auric being can make use of such a product for its own purposes. In such cases, the child is stillborn or is imperfect in one way or another, or clings itself to the auric being of the mother. Thus, in the latter case, the newborn babe is not only the child of its mother, but simultaneously, in a certain sense, her brother or sister. It is also possible that such a child, unacceptable to a foreign auric being, is taken on by the auric being of the father. In such circumstances, a strong connection with the mother or father arises. With mother and child, or father and child, the vitality decreases rapidly because the auric being must then work for two. Biologically, this is sometimes successful, but when the auric being has experienced much culture and consequently consumes a great deal of hydrogen and oxygen, i.e., reflecting ether and light ether, the lower self, of course, has corresponding cultural needs, and then the necessary etheric forces are often difficult to procure. The magnetic field is then overloaded. In cases where parenthood is ardently desired, such a duplication, such a union of two planets in one microcosm, often ensues. When one of the parties later wishes to go the path of liberation, it is often necessary to wait for the death of the father or mother, the death of one of the two planets, before freedom of action can be obtained. As soon as the death of one of the parents occurs, the other party very quickly becomes quite a different type. The face changes, the habits change, and much abnormal behavior disappears. The above information is given to you so that you may clearly see that in our unholy connection with the Lipika being, there cannot be any question of true life in the original divine sense of the word. Everything that eventuates in us, around us, and with us is merely a biological process. We suffer and are the condemned product of a natural process. Now, in this light, consider what we call continued existence and reincarnation. Can you say that you have known a previous existence? You cannot. For when you die according to your natural being, your whole personality being falls away in the course of time, and only the hydrogen principle which gave you life returns to the higher self. Just as the being of a dog falls away within a few days of death, you also fall away, but after a slightly longer time, if you remain one with this nature. Can we say that the higher self has known a previous existence? No. For it has only one existence. This existence began at the dawn of unholiness and continues up to this moment, albeit with many alterations and transformations. The higher self is a blind force speeding forward, the personification of a force structure which has escaped its guidance, seeking and striving after the fulfillment of its basic formula, the result of which the planet, the manifestation of man within the microcosm is, however, continually destroyed. When scripture says, "You are dust, and to dust shall you return," this is quite correct. And when, for instance, Hegelian philosophy breaks through the delusion of metaphysical twaddle, it is right, and in this respect finds transfigurist doctrine on its side. Therefore, we too shatter all your delusion. For only after the veils of delusion have been torn apart, only after a thorough house cleaning has been made, can one start searching for the sense of true life. If you want to belong to the race of the coming new mankind, you must forsake all speculation in all realms of life. We assume that you deny the divinity of the dialectical material sphere and of the dialectical reflection sphere. Now you must proceed with your denial and apply it also to the material sphere within your own microcosm with its earthly self and to the reflection sphere in your microcosm with its higher self. Only then are you consistent. Only then is your insight, your knowledge, rationally, morally justified. If you reject this macrocosm because it is the universe of death, then you must also reject this cosmos, for it is the life field which has arisen out of the macrocosm of death. And if you reject this cosmos, then you must proceed in your reasoning and repudiate your present microcosmic status as well. Only then are you consistent in your philosophy. The representative of the whole nature of death in our system is the higher self, the auric personality. It is the Satan from the very beginning. This word means adversary, foe. But by virtue of our ordinary earthly nature, the higher self is not an adversary. For as we have seen, it is our father and mother, our sustainer. According to nature, we have the same blood as the higher self and live therefrom. Sometimes we still wish to live out of it as pupils of the spiritual school. We then draw progressive horoscopes, look for aspects, and therefore try to attune ourselves to the suggestions of the higher self. When we no longer understand the inner voice of the higher self through lack of sensitivity, astrological science comes to our aid with its method, a grand science for the higher self when taught to the lower self. And if we are somewhat sensitive, the voice of the higher self can resound within us and we are possibly able to see something of it. Then we imagine that we have seen Jesus, or the Virgin Mary, or a beautiful master, or thinking in the language of the spiritual school, we imagine that in us there is something of the new being. Are there not many religions and occult systems which aim at attaining unity with the higher self? then the higher self is not yet our adversary yet. For we love holding on to one last particle of delusion. We do not dare to be found naked. Is not our imagination our support? Who dares to throw off this self-delusion? To the person who dares to do so, the higher self becomes a Satan, an adversary. Only when the higher self becomes the adversary can one say, "Get behind me, Satan." Delusion is often a consequence of ignorance. Many proceed from the assumption that another personality must grow within our microcosm, that another microcosmic earth must grow within the microcosmic heaven. This assumption is completely wrong. The seer of Patmos saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Do you understand these words? If there is to be a new earth, there must first be a new heaven. This signifies the liquidation of the total microcosm in the fullest and deepest sense, and the advent of an entirely new one. It signifies the end of this our total system. You want to transfigure, you want to enter a new state of being. Impossible, you must pass away, you must be entirely dissolved. Nothing more must be found, either of you or of your higher self. The grave must be empty. Everything of the old heaven and of the old earth has to pass away, to be taken away. For the first time in our modern age are these words of termination again being pronounced. The words of ancient brothers and sisters, the Manichaean words of total termination, may be explained again for the first time in and through the spiritual school. The word of truth lies in the liquidation of our entire natural status, in utter annihilation. A great servant of Christ in the 19th century once said that he did not believe in a further existence. People were astonished that he should say such a thing, but you will now understand it. He believed in the termination of the old heaven and the old earth. He believed and professed this. He manifested himself in this, and thus he bade farewell. This was indeed the true endurer. Not only the liquidation of the I in the sense of the lower self, but also the abolition of the higher self. These things are difficult to comprehend. The magnitude of this path is staggering. Allow us to place the following facts before you in all sobriety. In all probability, you have at some time or other said to yourself, "Satan, get thee hence." Who says this? In ordinary nature, Satan says this to himself in his struggle against evil and its results. In this struggle, the adversary, the higher self, finds resistance within himself as a consequence of the juncture of good and evil, and his exclamation proves that he is still very busy maintaining himself. With an undertone of despair, you may now possibly remark, "Is not then everything taught with reference to transfigurism the greatest nonsense, since there is nothing to be transfigured within me and around me, and since, according to your words, it is a matter of complete liquidation of my total reality of being? Is not then the doctrine of the spirit spark atom a dream? And should we not relegate the assertion that a latent sun exists within the auric being to the realm of fables?" If you pose these questions out of burning despair, that is splendid. We answer your question with a counter question. Who is Jesus who is to be born within you? And who is Christ who must come again? Namely, in the clouds of your microcosmic heaven, is Jesus an alteration of your I-being and Christ an alteration of the higher self? No, 1,000 times no. Jesus Christ is the entirely different one, the new microcosm, the new heaven, earth. And what do I have to do with it? You might then fire once more at us. Our reply is, have you heard of the holy law, the law valid in all realms? Where the light once appeared, there it will return. There was formerly a divine microcosm, but a great unholiness took its place, an unholiness organized through the aeons to what we and our higher self are today. This system of unholiness, however, could not escape from some of the characteristics of the past. Within the auric being, there is a latent divine sun, and within the earthly being, a nuclear divine principle situated within the heart as a latent mystery of the remote past. Now, if the whole system is willing to humble itself, is willing to liquidate itself absolutely and totally by breaking down, tearing up, and pulling out all delusion, then the light, the original light, will again appear in its old place. A new heaven and a new earth will be created. The latent sun in the auric being will be kindled, and its mirror, its moon, the spirit spark atom, will begin its course. On this basis, the new man will arise if, standing in that new genesis, you can say out of your inner being, underlining it with a perfect deed of life, "He, the other one, must grow, but I must decrease." If you can say this with a gladness and joy that passes all understanding, then the salvation of the mysteries will rise over you. Then the light from across the Jordan will come to you. Then the great portent, spoken of in Revelation 12, will rise over you. And a great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And then the process continues, 1260 days long, the symbol of process completion. And at the end, it can be said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea of the old etheric forces was no more." Can you walk along this path with us? Then perhaps you won't know so well how a person transfigures, but then you will understand the better why, and that the unholy microcosm must be completely liquidated, and you will prove it with deeds. From this hour on, a great peace will come over you, the peace of the end. All pursuit and searching will belong to the past, and with every breath you will profess, "He must grow, but I must decrease. He who is the humblest will be the greatest, because where the light has once appeared, there it will return as soon as the unholiness vanishes." We have now reached the end of our introductory considerations on the coming new man. We have explored philosophically from all sides the new race mentioned in the Bible, and must now proceed to a consideration of the processes of Genesis themselves and the possibilities and qualities of this exclusive human type, which is already manifest here and there and will soon emerge to an overwhelming extent. Those who partake of these new processes of Genesis and have set their first steps on the path towards the Father's house, we call, as a group, the Apostolic Circle and Apostolic Brotherhood. By the Apostolic Brotherhood, we understand all the renewed ones together who have become free in the whole wide world. And by the Apostolic Circle, we understand those amongst them who have awakened in the force field of the modern spiritual school of the Rosy Cross. This Apostolic Circle came into being on Friday, the 15th of June, 1951, at the same time opening a third temple, whereby the great field of work of the spiritual school broke through to its primary aim after 36 years of work. The work began on the 17th of December 1915, and on Friday, June 15th in the 1951, the commission was fulfilled. By the first temple, we mean the school of the Rosy Cross, which you should regard as the large forecourt in which all seekers are welcomed and receive the opportunity to examine the aim and work of the school and to experience its working power. By the second temple, we refer to the school of higher consciousness, to which pupils are admitted who are prepared for the coming new state of life. The third temple is the working place of the Apostolic Circle, entered by those who partake of this new state of life. Thus our considerations on the coming new man acquire a highly current meaning, because the result of the effects of the three temples, the realization of the new man, will prove themselves here. May it be clear to the reader that the way has been paved for a work which in the near future will be engraved with indelible letters in the history of mankind. One day, the Brotherhood of the Three Temples will no longer be found in the dialectical field. It will have been taken up in the clouds of heaven, journeying to meet the Lord.